Hi everyone, Marty Becker here, owner of Atlas Financial Strategies in St. Louis, Missouri, coming to you with episode number 46 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast, where we're going to talk about the other risk of retirement. Now, I've had a hunch about this for a long time because I've talked a lot in previous episodes about the risk of running out of money, which all revolves around that 4% rule, but I've always thought, okay, so we know the worst case scenario. What if the opposite happens and we go into a market that's taking off when you retire, and then you have a bunch of money that you never had a chance to enjoy? So people could leave a lot of money on the table that they never intended because they're always wondering if the other shoe is going to drop, even if the market goes up. When is this whole retirement planning thing going to go off the rails and I'm just going to run out of money? So the problem is when an entire industry is based on mitigating a worst case scenario, you never really get to enjoy the best case scenario if you are one of those fortunate people who retires when the market is on a tear and going straight up. But the reason most advisors do it that way on a worst case scenario is because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less 20 to 30 years from now. So the best they can do is look at historical models, but I think it's safe to say that there's very few things that are still the same in this world than they were 30 years ago. And past results do not guarantee future performance. So how do we overcome this other risk of being able to spend as much as possible while also mitigating the risk of running out of money? Spoiler alert, it's an income annuity, but like I said in the opening, I was looking for a good way to prove this without it coming from Marty Becker, the guy who has a vested interest in you funding an income annuity. Well, like the old saying goes, all good things come to those who wait. And in this case, it came in the form of a research paper that was released in June of 2024 by two economists by the names of David Blanchett and Michael Finke. Now, just to let you know, these guys do not sell annuities. They're academics. Their whole job is to study the most effective way for people to use the retirement portfolio in the United States. So the title of this research paper is Guaranteed Income, A License to Spend. And I love that title because it's very obvious. But we're going to go through some of the high-level findings in this research paper. And if you want to read the whole thing for yourself, all you need to do is just Google Guaranteed Income, A License to Spend, Blanchett and Finke. And Finke is F-I-N-K-E, if you're listening to this on the podcast. Okay, so let's get into this. Finke and Blanchett start with, deciding how much to spend each year in retirement from investments is complicated when both the length of retirement and returns on assets are not known. Unknown longevity presents a trade-off in which a retiree can either spend generously and risk outliving savings or spend conservatively and live a less enjoyable retirement. A retiree who prefers not to accept the risk of outliving savings will spend less. An alternative to spending from investments is to transfer the risk of an unknown lifespan to an institution, like a pension or Social Security or an insurance company. A rational, risk-averse retiree who does not transfer longevity risk will spend less each year than if they had purchased a fairly priced income annuity. Economic theory predicts that a retiree with a similar annuitized wealth will spend more than a retiree with an equal amount of non-annuitized savings. The lifestyle that retirees give up by failing to annuitize is referred to by economists as the, quote, annuity puzzle, unquote. An annuity can not only reduce the risk of an unknown lifespan, it can also allow retirees to spend their savings without the discomfort generated by seeing one's nest egg gradually get smaller. Essentially, annuities give retirees a psychological license to spend their savings in retirement. Surveys reveal a clear preference among retirees to live off income, and many don't feel comfortable spending down assets to fund a lifestyle. This is surprising since funding a lifestyle is presumably what motivates retirement savings to begin with. and few retirees indicate a desire to pass on significant wealth at death. Okay, so that last part, few people, at least in the demographic of American-born baby boomers, very few of them actually have a desire to leave a bunch of money behind to their kids. That seems to be more of an Eisenhower generation and maybe a non-American-born cultural thing. Now, I don't have any hard evidence to back that up, but I talk to a lot of baby boomers, and very few tell me that the main purpose of their money is to leave it behind to their kids. But for those who do want to leave money behind, I tell them to pick an amount, and then let's buy some guaranteed life insurance for pennies on the dollars. Or if you can't qualify for the life insurance, let's find an annuity that comes with a large bonus towards the death benefit. Because the best way to pass assets on is not to pass the asset on, it's to pass on tax-free life insurance. Okay, so moving on, we find, Finke and Blanchett, we find strong evidence that households holding a greater share of their wealth in guaranteed income spend more each year than retirees who hold more of their wealth in investments. A household with a generous pension and no savings will spend more than a retiree with enough savings to buy an annuity that provides the same income as the pension. By holding household wealth constant, the analysis show that households are spending more, not because they are wealthier, but rather it is the form of wealth that they hold that impacts spending in retirement. Now, that's an interesting way to put it, quote, form of wealth. I've never heard it said like that before, but it makes sense because the people in the study are people that are wealthy in cash flow. And ask any wealthy person or any business owner what the most important thing is, and the answer is always cash flow. A big pile of money doesn't do you any good if you don't know how to spend it. So those people that are willing to release the hostages from their portfolio to go and get some guaranteed income end up spending more and enjoying their retirement because now they hold a different type of wealth. Okay, so marginal estimates indicate that investment assets generate about half of the amount of additional spending as an equal amount of wealth held in guaranteed income. In other words, retirees spend twice as much each year in retirement if they hold guaranteed income wealth instead of investment wealth. The size of the effect suggests that the explanation for underspending non-annuitized savings is likely both a behavioral and a rational response to longevity risk. A survey conducted to explore preference for spending out of income or wealth finds that 59.4% of respondents would feel more comfortable spending on non-essential activities, such as going out to eat or taking a vacation, which you do a lot of in retirement. They would feel more comfortable doing those things if they had an additional $10,000 of income rather than the equivalent cost of an income annuity, which at the time of this paper was $140,000. These findings have important implications for financial advisors and retirees. Retirees who shift assets from savings to lifetime income can align spending with the retiree's lifestyle goal and provide a retiree with the psychological benefit of being given, quote, a license to spend your accumulated savings. Okay, so there's two types of people in the financial world. You have savers and you have spenders. Savers have a very hard time in retirement because they're always saving for an emergency. But if you know that more money is going to show up next month, regardless of what's happening in the economy, regardless of who's in the White House, then it allows people to get more enjoyment out of their retirement and out of their money. Okay, moving on. A retiree's risk tolerance determines their willingness to accept shortfall risk. A risk-averse retiree will prefer to avoid a possible drop in future spending and will spend less to ensure the longevity of their nest egg. A risk-tolerant retiree will accept the possibility of a shortfall and spend more in early retirement. Consider a risk-averse retired opposite-sex couple with a relative risk aversion of 8, meaning they're very risk-averse, and a risk-tolerant retiree with, they call it an RRA of 4, relative risk aversion. That means they're willing to spend money and just see what happens. The retiree holds a portfolio of bonds to fund a safe spending in retirement with an expected return of 4%. What impact will uncertain longevity have on optimal spending for this 65-year-old opposite-sex couple? A risk-averse retired couple can maximize expected well-being in retirement by withdrawing 3.8% from their bond portfolio each year, and a risk-tolerant retiree will maximize expected utility by withdrawing 4.9% from the portfolio. Okay, so they're dancing around that 4% rule. So if you're super conservative and you're a saver type mentality, then they're saying, okay, the most you'll really want to take is a little less than 4%. If they're saying you're super aggressive on your spending, really the most you should take is about 5%. So by accepting the idiosyncratic risk of funding annual spending from safe savings using safe investments, as the bonds, a retiree will moderate spending to avoid the risk of running out of savings. Had the couple annuitized their savings at retirement, the average annual payout from the top five quotes available on CanEx for a single premium immediate annuity for a joint couple, age 65, with a cash refund provision is 6.3% at the time this paper was written. Now, there are other ones paying higher than that, some fixed index annuities at the time of this recording. And there's always a way to be able to get that even a little bit higher using my Atlas annuity strategy, but we'll just stick with this for now. So what they're saying is you can take that same chunk of money from the bonds that a saver will only spend 3.8% out of. A more aggressive spender will spend about 5%. You can take that, get an annuity, and that will allow you to spend 6.3%. By transferring longevity risk to an institution, for example, a pension or an insurance company, they could spend between 29% for the saver and 66% for the spender more each year. And I apologize because I think I just said that backwards. But what they're saying here is, so even a person who's not afraid to spend their money, so the spender, gets almost 30% more spendable income, and they mitigate the risk of ever running out. The saver gets to spend over 65% more money and has the ability to mitigate the risk of ever running out. Now, that's a win all day long. And for the 89% of the population who does not have a defined benefit pension, then there is literally no other option to have that guaranteed lifetime income other than an income annuity. That's it. That is it. That is the only option that provides a guaranteed contractual lifetime income. Okay, continuing. Prior research suggests that defined contribution retirees, those are people with 401ks and IRAs and 403s and 457s, are generally challenged with the concept of spending down assets. For example, only 34% of 65 to 74-year-old households spent more than their income in 2017. And this percentage has been declining since 2011. So basically what they're saying is they're not even touching their portfolios, the principal of it. They're spending their Social Security and then maybe any interest that they're getting, which in the first part of this, the 21st century, was not a whole lot. So the 2020 EBRI Retirement Confidence Survey, honestly, I don't know what that is, finds that only 1 in 20 retirees are strategically spending down their assets. And 2 in 3 say they are preserving assets in order to fund later life expenses. And only 30% want to leave an inheritance. And again, I think that goes back to that generational cultural thing. But failing to spend down savings by living only off of the income produced by savings may be seen as an extreme response to longevity risk among loss-averse retirees who feel an emotional resistance to seeing their nest egg shrink, despite saving the nest egg for the purpose of funding lifestyle. Okay, so now that's just a damn shame, to be honest, because people are working their entire lives, most of the time at jobs they do not like, to save enough money to actually go out and enjoy themselves during retirement. but they're actually not doing it because they're scared to death of running out of money. So what happened to the plans of buying the boat or traveling to Europe or joining the country club? All of those plans are being put on the shelf because they're scared to death that the money is not going to last as long as they do. But like I've said in previous episodes, when you have an income annuity, even if you run out of money, you will never run out of income. Okay, so I'm going to skip a big portion of this because this is just the analysis of how they got to those numbers that we just talked about. Again, if you want to read it in its entirety, just Google License Suspend Blanchett and Finke, F-I-N-K-E. So let's go down to the summary here. They wrap this up with, our results are consistent with previous studies which find that retirees aren't spending as much as they potentially could. The low rate of spending among retirees who hold wealth and investments rather than guaranteed income suggests that advisors can significantly improve retiree welfare by offering clients the opportunity to increase annuitized wealth through delayed Social Security or through private income annuities. A conflict of interest may arise if clients with behavioral preferences are inclined to conserve wealth in retirement if they fail to annuitize, resulting in greater investable assets over time managed by an advisor at the expense of lower satisfaction and higher unintended bequest for the client. Okay, so basically what they're stating in this last paragraph, because I had to read it several times just for it to make sense, is that your advisor should at least be presenting you the option of some sort of guaranteed income stream and maximizing it, and whether that is showing you how to delay Social Security, which will deplete more of your investable assets up front early in retirement, if you retire like 62 or 65 and you delay to 70, or by moving a portion of your portfolio to an income annuity. And what the authors are saying here is, if they're not presenting those options, it could be considered a conflict of interest because it could be perceived that these options were not explored. So the advisor can get you to hold on to more money in the managed account to continue to charge the management fees and maximize their personal benefit. Now, I didn't say that. The authors did, so please don't leave me a bunch of nasty messages in the comments section. So that was Finke and Blanchett, so yell at them. They came to that conclusion. But what they are saying is that if your advisor is not exploring those options with you, it could lead to a lower satisfaction of your retirement lifestyle and leaving more money behind to your heirs or to your estate than you intended to. Now, I personally think, yeah, there are a lot of crappy advisors out there who would do something like that and try to keep you from leaving as much money as possible in your portfolio so they can maximize their management fees on AUM, assets under management, basically turning you into their annuity. But I also think the more common reason is most advisors just don't understand these products and how they work. This is a specialized financial product that has multiple variations and strategies that can be used, and most advisors just don't take the time to learn how to use them effectively. But that is exactly what I do. So if you haven't had a conversation with me yet, then you should definitely consider booking a short phone call with me by going to atlasannuity.com. That way we can talk, get your questions answered to see if the Atlas Annuity strategy will work for you, and we can get you a higher percentage of your money to spend with mitigating the risk of running out. And if you're not ready to talk just yet, but you still haven't watched my video series, 20% More Spendable Income in Retirement, then I would say start there. And remember what the authors of this research paper said earlier in this podcast, is that even on the low end, someone could have 29% more spendable income. Well, I remember talking to my marketer Jeremy when I was showing him these concepts, and we were trying to come up with the idea of how do we present this to actually help people out there. And I was showing him how people could have 30, 40, 50% more spendable income. And basically what he told me is like, no one's going to believe that. So let's just stick with 20%. But now that we know what the research really says, and it's even higher than what I suggest in my video series, all this information is out there for the public, and it's done in a controlled environment. It's not just Marty Becker's opinion. So at this point, the next logical step is just to see, hey, what can the Atlas Annuity Strategy do for you in your retirement? So everyone, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. If you found this information helpful, please subscribe, like, comment, and share this podcast with someone that you think could benefit from it. Again, this is Marty Becker coming to you with episode number 46 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast, wishing you all the best in your financial education.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. All information presented is for educational purposes only and is not a recommendation to implement any tax strategy, nor is it a recommendation to buy, sell, or transfer any security or insurance products. Atlas Financial Strategies Incorporated is an insurance-only licensed entity, and any decisions to buy or sell securities should be discussed with a licensed securities advisor, and any tax strategies should be discussed with a licensed tax professional. Past performance of any strategies or products mentioned are not a guarantee of future returns. For any other questions or concerns, please go to www.atlasannuity.com.